afternoon, or good morning, depending on where you are in the time zones. Please join me and join us in the saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa, Gedula Chimin Ta, Ta. Alphabet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. And in the name of God, Vav Shin Resh, which deals with memories and patterns in our life, which is a form of a memory. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Ra and Satan. Ra means to tear up. Satan is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates. And it's a reminder to us to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which are the entry points for the negative system. Na Gibor Dor Sheyehudcha Kivava Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet, through its gematria of 57, connects us to the Hebrew word Zan, which means Parnassah, or sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps us take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Varchem tacharem rakamei sitkatha tami gamlem. Betetresh tzaditav gimel. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Netzach and its attribute of eternal victory. Chasin kadosh erot tuvcha na'el adatach. Het kuf bet, het nunayin. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Chod and its attribute of appreciation and thankfulness. Yachid geyeh lamcha penei zokre kedushatach yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium, during this, our generation. Shavateinu kabel Ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shinkufav tadiyotaf. The two letters for the month of Tammuz, the Taf, that created the planet Lavana, which is the moon, and the Chet, that created the constellation Sartan, which is the crab or cancer. And also created the Hebrew month of Tammuz. We utilize the connection to these letters to minimize the negative aspects of Tammuz and enhance the positive aspects. This last verse, the seventh verse, connects us to, through its gematria of the first two letters, to 400, which represents perfection, represents completion of tikkun. last four letters of that sequence has the same gematria as the first verse, 506, and again connects us to the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love. And it's through the injection of unconditional love in every step in our process of change, of transformation, that allows us to move towards completion and to eventually reach perfection. The eighth verse we say in a whisper, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kibod Malchuto Le'olam Vayed. Everybody is able to be heard if you wish to ask any questions as we go along. I'm now going to read from a verse from the Zohar, from the Parsha of Balak. I'm reading at verse 156 from section 10. Hashem, you are my Elohim, I will exalt you. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenei. Patach Rabbi Elazar v'amar Hashem Elohe ata aromimcha odeshimcha ki asita v'gomer haitira leza im hemuta ihu Hashem raza ila'a Sheruta in Kuda, Ila Asatima, Ila Yadia, Elohe Razako, De Mama Daka, Ilihu Sheruta, De Taima, Lisha Allah, De Astim, De La Yadia, The Late Mandiatib, Ale Begin Dihu, Satim, The Tamir, The Gani. Rabbi Elazar opened the discussion with the verse, Hashem, you are my Elohim, I will exalt you, I will praise your name, for you have done. That's a verse from Isaiah. This verse in the scripture is the secret of the faith. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the top secret, and is the beginning of the higher point that is concealed and not known. That is Abba and Iba up high, who are the secret of Chokmah, in whom the youth does not leave the air, and they are concealed from Chokmah, entirely unknown. My Elohim is the secret meaning of a still small voice. That is Israel Saba and Tevunah, which is the secret meaning of Bina. That is the beginning of that which may be inquired into, since in it the youth goes out from the air into greatness. However, it becomes concealed and unknown, and there is no one that responds to it. Although it is available for inquiry, available to be revealed, since Yud has left the air in it, and returned to the light of Chokmah, there is no one to respond to the inquiry, since Chokmah does not get disclosed in its place, but rather in the place of Zeranpin and Malchut, because it is concealed, covered and hidden. To explain, when I read a verse from the Zohar, what I normally do is wherever my reading for my week places me at the time of any given class, I just take the next verse. This particular verse is extremely esoteric. It's very difficult for a newcomer the Kabbalah to understand this verse. It's difficult for advanced students to understand this verse because there's code words throughout the whole verse, the whole discussion. Israel Saba is a code word for a certain level of consciousness that's part of Bina. It's part of the aspect of how the Sephiroth evolved. Tevunah is another aspect a level of consciousness for Bina. These are names of Partsuf, which is a whole concept that's difficult to understand. When it speaks about air, how does sound move? It moves through the air. Light is also a form of air in a different frame of reference, the spiritual reference. Air is the fulfillment of all life on earth. Without air, there is no life. There's carbon dioxide in air, there's oxygen in air. The plant life need the carbon dioxide. Humans and animals and other forms of life need the oxygen. And they transform the two in their process of living. All of that concept is built into this verse. And if you don't have this background to understand what it means to be a code word, it's very difficult to understand this verse. But that's not the reason that I read the verse from the Zohar. I read it so that the energy of holiness will come into our space, into our class. And so that has been affected. Whether you understood what was read or didn't, whether you understood my explanation or didn't, holiness is now permeating our class. The Anna Makoach is said at the beginning of every class because it brings the energy of creation, which is ultimately, when fully understood, the energy of balance. But balance is a limiting aspect for creation. So we will always talk about the energy of creation. Does anybody have any questions?
I just had a question about Hebrew, because we were talking about in the book about reading it, because the eyes are the windows to the soul, looking at, but also hearing it. Is there one that's better than the other to hear it or to see it, to read it, understand it?
Well, the book that Arlene is speaking about, she's been reading Power of Kabbalah by Yehuda Berg, and also Kabbalah for Dummies. And so I'm not sure where the question is coming from, but it's a very valid question. The Hebrew letters have four levels of communication. One of them is the shape of the letter, in which we're talking about visualizing, seeing. It's the eyes are the window to the soul, and the eyes are the level of chachmah, the level of wisdom. Another level of the letters is their sound, and that's the level of bina, the level of understanding. What's the difference between wisdom, which is really intuition, and understanding, which is really logic? And so the answer to your question is both are important. Chachma, or vision, is on a higher level than the sound. But when we're hearing the Torah, we only have to hear it. We don't have to see it. But if you go to a synagogue, you'll see people reading a chumash, reading a book that has the letters in it. And that is the practice, to hear it while you're reading it. But it's up to you. There are other times the Torah is designed on many different levels to transfer the metaphysical energy. So reading from a printed book as opposed to the Torah is not as beneficial, because the Torah scroll is designed, it has innate properties associated with the skin of the animal, the ink that's made, the consciousness of the man who wrote it. All of that intertwines to give us background. So, you know, I can't give you an answer. One over the other, it's better to do both. But if you want to close your eyes when you're hearing me read the Zohar as an example, you're getting it on the level of Bina, on the level of logic, and on the level of understanding. If you were reading the same verse while you were hearing me, you'd be getting it on both levels. So it's all up to you. And everybody learns differently. Some people learn visually, and some people learn auditorily. And I try, and as much as possible, to give that aspect in my classes by having some handouts for the first, this is the last class, number 4, where there'll be a handout. After this, the learning is auditory, although sometimes we bring diagrams to help people understand it. But it's really recommended not to have the diagrams, because the diagrams are a physical thing. Yes.
I'm still trying to memorize.
What she's pointing to is the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life that you look at on every printed page is a corruption for you, because it's you're seeing something physical, and you're trying to identify it in a sense of physical. And it's not. It's a metaphysical. It's a spiritual essence. You're looking at 2 dimensions,
yeah,
and it's 10 dimensions.
Yeah.
And, so the more we talk about it, the more you're able to visualize in your own mind what the Tree of Life is actually. But that becomes, and it, what you're able to visualize, what you receive in as a thought to say, oh, that's what he means, all of that is showing the change in your consciousness that's taking place. Are there any other questions? You should be able to be heard. Okay, now the classes that we've taught up till now, the first class is a general discussion, introduction to Kabbalah. The second class, we discussed the meaning behind creation. We discussed the Ein Sof, we discussed the evolutionary process that brought us from the Ein Sof down to the physical world. We discussed that nothing ever disappears in spirituality. So all of these levels and worlds and consciousness still exist. They exist within us, with outside of us. They're all there. In the third class, we introduced you to the beginning of the tools. The main tool is the Hebrew alphabet. Starting with the Torah, starting with the Anava Koach, which is the creation name, the name of God, 42-letter name of God that was used in creation. Starting with the Zohar, and we spoke about the dailyzohar.com, and we spoke about the different places on the internet that you can get access to the Zohar in the Aramaic, in the Hebrew letters, and we recommended that you start to do that every day, 1 or 2 minutes, 5 minutes of scanning, because most people in my classes don't read Hebrew. But if you do read it, and on the Daily Zohar, he has verbalized it on a recording so that you can get both the visual and the auditory. And as we just said, it's best to do both. Now, today's class is called The 72 Names of God. And many people think they know what that means. So we're going to make it very simple. I have brought my own copies of the printouts, 3 of the 4 of them anyway. And this you will not be able to take because they're my personal one. But on the website, under the Revealed Wisdom section, you can print out your own copy. And after a few months of utilizing the 72 names of God, if you send me an email asking for your personal chart, which I'll explain later in the class, I will send it to you. Right now, it's probably not available to you, and I don't recommend people start with the personal chart, but just with the general chart. But if you've been doing it for a few months every day, then it's time for you to get the personal chart.
So we need to scan this every day also?
Yes, right to left, not left to right. This is the tool that should be done every day.
I have that book coming.
Well, as we talk today to help understand what this is, this chart of the 72 names comes from three verses in the Torah that are unique. Nowhere else in the whole Tanakh are there three verses in a row with 72 letters each. There are verses, one or two verses in a row with 72 letters, but never three verses in a row with 72. These verses are chapter 14, verses 19, 20, and 21. And they are literally describing the crossing, the splitting of the Reed Sea. Let's understand the corruption. Some people translate the word Yam Suf, which is what is described. The Jewish people have left Egypt. They've come out into the desert. Now it's 7 days into the desert. And why the 7 days? Pharaoh was under the impression, which Moses had said to him, we want to go into the desert for 3 days to serve God. Pharaoh sent spies after the people to say, what are they doing? So the spies watched for 3 days and then sent messengers back to Pharaoh and says, they're not returning. On the fourth day, they continued further marching. They didn't stop to serve God. They continued into the desert. So Pharaoh got these messengers and immediately went after his slaves, because in his mind, they were still his slaves. He catches up with them on the seventh day. He catches up with them when they are in a particular difficult place. In front of them is a sea. We're going to discuss the meaning of the name of that sea in a minute. It's called the Yam Suf. On the right and on the left, there is mountains, difficult to climb, and filled with wild animals, scorpions, snakes, all of the things that animals, that rats, all of the things that people normally distrust, have fear of. People were not going to go into these mountains. Behind them, here comes Pharaoh and his chariots. And there's this transfer of the fire goes behind them instead of being in front of them to protect them from Pharaoh. So God is separating Pharaoh from the Jewish nation. And this is the condition that they are in. Now let's understand what Yam Suf means. The word yam means, it's the Hebrew word for sea. It means sea, no conflict, all of the experts agree. But the word suf is difficult to translate. It's actually not difficult to translate. It's just so overwhelming when you translate it properly that the translators changed it. Suf is the word just like soph, from En Sof. En Sof we spoke about 2 weeks ago. En Sof translates as the endless world. Sof means end. Suf is spelled the same way, except the vowel is slightly different. Yam Suf means the sea of end. That is such an overwhelming concept. What does it mean to go through the sea of end? You change so that there are no limitations, no ends in your life when you cross the Yam Suf. Was that a physical sea? Was it a spiritual sea? This is for people to decide for themselves. There are many people in the world who say the archaeologists cannot find where the people crossed, so therefore they never crossed in the physical world. And it could very well be that all we're referring to is a spiritual level. But in either case, spiritual or physical,
crossing
from one level to another across the concept of end. Splitting of the Yam Suf. There's no end anymore. There's no limitation. Where do you want to go? You want to go to another galaxy? No. There's no limitation. You want to go to the ends of the universes? No. There's no limitation. You want to be healthy? There's no death. There's no illness. There's no limitation. This is the energy of what the splitting of the Yam Suf, which is translated as the Red Sea or as the Reed Sea, because it's so overwhelming for a rabbi or a clergyman to say to his flock of people, to his congregation, we're splitting end. He doesn't know how to deal with that. To people of 400, 500, 1,000 years ago, their level of education, their level of consciousness, how could they deal with this concept? But we live in a generation that through science, through the whole understanding of the quantum physics that has permeated our society, we're able to make this leap of understanding.
It just amazes me how literally that was taken. I didn't know any different. I'd always just heard that literal interpretation. And it's no different than Jesus walking on water or turning water into wine. And people taking so literally.
And the Zohar says very clearly, if you read the Bible, the Torah, as a literal story, you're a fool.
Yeah, you missed the whole point.
You miss many points. Because there are many. It's just an overwhelming. But let me continue and express a little bit more. In chapter 14, verse 15, four verses before these three verses that create the 72 names of God. We have reached, the Jewish people are standing by the edge of the Yam Suf. Behind them is the Egyptians. coming to enslave them or kill them. They don't even know. They don't know which is worse. But they know it's not a positive thing. On the right and the left, they can't move in that direction. The wild animals, the snakes, the scorpions. And in front of them is this Yam Suf, the Sea of End. Even if they don't know its name, there's a sea. What do? You know, you've got women and children and babies and wagons. You know, and this is not a sea that is 10 feet deep, it's 50 feet, it's 100 feet deep. So they're standing, not knowing what to do. And God, Moses and the people, pray to God, cry out to God, speak to God. What do we do? And here is God's answer. And it's an amazing, amazing answer. God's answer is, Ma Titzach Alai. Translated is, why are you crying to me? Who am I supposed to cry to? Am I in control of my world? Am I the person that can make these things happen? I don't know what to do. I don't know to go forward to let Pharaoh capture me. I don't know what to do. I just go into the mountains and die? What do I do? And God says, why are you crying to me? Now, we have a tradition in the Torah that says there are no extra words. And there's no letters that are lacking letters. No words lacking letters. So when we look at these words, when we look at what the Torah is teaching us, the Midrash comes along and says, God said, Matitzach Alai, but the full verse that we really didn't have to hear, but it helps us understand it, is, why are you crying to me? I've given you the tools. I've given you the information about the 72 names of God. I've given you the control of the physical world. You can split the sea. Go forward. Walk into it. But how does that happen? Why does that happen? We all know I'm under pressure. I need $1,000. How do I make it happen in my life? It's the same thing in some frame of reference to being in front of the Red Sea. I have a limitation and I want it to change. I can cry to God, and God's answer is, Matitzach Alai. I've given you the tools. The tools are given 4 verses later. They are the 72 letters times 3, 216 letters that are formatted into this matrix. Now there are 7 ways that 3 letters can be formatted. We know 2 of them are positive. We've been told nothing about the other 5, so we don't use the other 5. But on my website, on what prints out, you have the 72 names of God chart and the 72 names from the Tzaddikim chart. They're both 3-letters words. They both fit into this 9x8 matrix. They're different. If you look at this name and you look at that name, the same box in the 2 different names, they're different. The middle letter is different. Both of these are positive tools. Both of these I suggest you use. for the most part, most of the Mekubalim do not teach you about the names from the Tzaddikim. They think it's too confusing to people to be taught two different sets of names. I disagree, and so I teach about both. I tell you to utilize both. The 72 names of God is a more powerful essence. It's more control of the physical world. The 72 names of the Tzaddikim is also beneficial, so don't not use it. What I'm suggesting, and remember, never believe a word I say, but please do what I suggest. Every day, at least once, and more often as you wish, right to left, top to bottom. Both charts. Now we can go through and analyze different aspects of these names. For example, the first row, the fifth box from the left, this name deals with healing. The row below that, Heheayin, I believe it is dealing with unconditional love. You've heard the group from the East, the Hare Krishnas. Hare is one of the names of the 72 names of God. Do not say the names, just scan them.
You know, I keep being drawn back to the small letters here.
Yes, that has to do with an aspect of healing and guarding, protection. And blessing. But as you scan every day, some of the names will, what I call, pop out at you. They will attract you more than other of the names. What that's telling you is on that day, this is the energy that you need. Some people will spend a lot of time memorizing each name and what its meaning is. And other people never even looked at the meanings. It's not important to them. They're just going to use all of the names. And that's what the Kabbalists teach us, actually. Don't limit yourself by picking this name or that name. Use all 72 names all the time. Now, I need to express one additional concept that is very important to understand. When God said, Matitzach alai, why are you crying to me? You have the tools. One man, the head of the tribe of Judah, his name was Nachshon ben Aminadav. He got the message, and only he got the message. 600,000 men, 600,000 women, how many children? Only he got the message. God said, why are you crying to me? Move out, move forward, take a step. This is a message that belongs to your truth every day of your life. You don't know what to do, do something. Let me explain it in more detail. Nachshon started walking into the sea, and it came to the level of his knees. Nothing happened, the sea didn't split. He walked forward further, the level of his waist. The sea didn't split. Water's cold. God said, move forward. He keeps walking. It's the level of his armpits, the level of his mouth. It is the level of his nostrils. He's about to go underwater. And it is at that moment, that last possible instant, that the sea splits. What caused the sea to split? Moses is told in these verses, not in the three verses, but in the talking to God, Moses is told to wave his staff. And this is a special staff that has on it, on one side, the Anabakoach name, the 42-letter name. And on the other side, it has these 72 names. The staff that Moses has been given. Wave the staff. Use the 72 names to manifest change of the physical world. But there's one other ingredient. And that's the ingredient called certainty. If you think, if you believe that it will work, you are bringing an element of doubt. We've talked about belief versus knowledge. Nachshon ben Aminadab walked into the sea with certainty. He heard the message from God through Moshe. Walk forward. It will be all right. You're doing the right action. Walk forward. Leave your past. Leave where you're restrained. Break out and come to freedom. And you will split the Yam Suf. It's not just the 72 names, it's also your consciousness that they work. Now the letters will cause you to change. It will help connect you to certainty. One of the names is literally the energy of certainty.
That's what I need.
That's what everyone needs.
So many things I try to manifest, I always have that little element of doubt, so it doesn't work.
That's where the 72 names will come and assist you. And that's why after 2-3 months, what I will be doing is giving you a chart that I refer to as the personal chart. Literally, I will take your name in Hebrew letters and intermix it. Here's an example with my name, which is printed on the there. But you now see 7 letters, 4 letters in blue that are my name, and the 3 letters from here. What am I doing when I look at this? I am taking my name, which is a metaphor for my soul, and I am taking the name of God, which is a metaphor for this attribute of God, and I'm bringing it into my soul. That's where the power is, if you utilize it.
You know, people who change their name, I always wondered about that.
People do change their name, and there are reasons for it. And we'll talk about it another time, about why people change. And usually it's because they're sick, or because they don't like their circumstances and they think it will change. And also it can be that certain parts of their soul have corrected, and that therefore the mix of soul that they are today is different than they were at birth, and their name needs to change. But that's a different discussion.
You know, this
72 names of God is a tool that I'm presenting to you. Please use it. Print it out in color, not in color. Use the chart from the book that you're pointing to. Understand this tool. It's very powerful. It is control of your physical world. Now let's talk a little bit about what control means. If Albert Einstein was giving a lecture about the mathematics of his theories of relativity, it teaches that if you don't see the door. The door is not there. If a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, the tree didn't fall. This is what modern physics teaches. And the Kabbalists agree. It's quantum physics, yes. Yes. That if you observe, you interact with the what you're observing and you change it. And all of, it's all based on consciousness. But let's take it a further practical level. Albert Einstein has just finished teaching that class and he drives home. And he's an absent-minded professor. He's left his keys on the kitchen table. The doors are locked. His wife is away. How does he get into the house? He just taught if he doesn't see the door, he can walk through it. He tries it and bumps his nose. Doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? It's really because there's human consciousness built into the door that says this is a door, and you have to remove that human consciousness in order to make it disappear, to be able to walk through it. The Mukubalim comes. Exactly the same discussion. He just finished teaching it, just like I'm doing now. He gets home. He sees the keys on the kitchen table. Can he walk through the door? Maybe he can, maybe he can't. It's not the point. What happens? Where is his control? There's a coincidence. Driving by is a locksmith truck. He waves the locksmith down. Open the door for me, please. The locksmith unlocks the door and he's in. Did he have control of his physical world? He manifested the locksmith. Or if it's not the locksmith, his wife drives home at that instant, so he doesn't have to wait long. Did he manifest that? Yes. What is control? Is control a miracle? I can walk through the wall? Or is control what works in our world? Yeah. That's the understanding you must always remember.
Unless you're a Tibetan monk.
The spiritual system works miracles all the time. We don't recognize them as miracles. We call that nature.
Oh, I always make note of it when there, what do you call it, synchronicity?
Synchronicity is, but even that, what we notice, there are many, many other times that we don't notice. The point to remember, what is control? I want to cross the street. How do I cross the street? I have to take a step. In order to take a step, I have to cross the distance of half a step. In order to cross half a step, I have to cross the distance of a quarter of a step. In order to cross a quarter, I have to cross an eighth. In order to cross the eighth, I have to cross the 16th. And on and on and on. It is impossible, mathematically, to cross a street. Because you have to cross a distance that's less than the whole all the time. Mathematics proves you cannot cross a street.
Unless you're a giant.
How do we cross the street? We do it every day. Actually, no. The way the system works, I perceive myself across the street. And then I watch the physical world conform to my consciousness. But we don't see that as a miracle. We don't see that as cause and effect. We see it as one step at a time. But the reality is, where is my consciousness? I'm no longer on this side of the street, I'm on the other side of the street. now that I'm on the other side of the street, how can I make that up? Now that I'm on the other side of the street, how do I make the physical world be with me on the other side of the street? In the physical world, it's easier for us to perceive it one step at a time. So that's how what we perceive. That's the natural order of things. But in fact, as soon as I see myself across the street, I'm there. The rest of this process, one step at a time, is part of me learning to control the physical world. I can make that just to be there. Or I can do it one step at a time and other people see me walking. Cause and effect, and what is control, which is what I'm teaching right now. What is the definition of control? When I think of myself across the street, I am across the street. How do I get there? I'm just there. Well, I came out of the air. I came out of the blue. I can teleport myself. Or I walk one step at a time. Most of us walk one step at a time because the universe would rather do things in an ordinary process, not in what we would perceive as a miraculous process. To come out of the air and just be across the street, we would call that a miracle. The guy can teleport himself one across the room, around the world. He can go from Israel to New York in a second. It is possible. It happens all the time. And yet, for the most part, it's one step at a time. Both are control. Both are different levels of control. These names, when we use them by scanning it, gives us control at the level of one step at a time. There are people who reach a level of connection to these names who move across the street in thin air. This is total control of the physical world. At whatever control level means for you.
Well, I'm trying to improve mine.
It takes certainty, and it takes this understanding of control. These are parts of this. The more you use the names, the more certainty you will develop. The more you use the names, the more control they will give you. This is cause and effect. It's like you want to run a mile, you have to practice. You have to build your body. You have to build the muscles. You have to strengthen it. The more you practice, the more you're able to get there. The same is with spirituality.
That reminded me of something, because I usually watch tennis. I usually play tennis when I'm younger, and people on Muslims have a player from China. He always had problems at Wimbledon because he had that mental block about grass court that he never won. And it was funny because he was such a top player, obviously, he had the skill and the conditioning, but he had that mental block where he wasn't certain. I just thought of him because Wimbledon just ended.
But it's the same issue.
I mean, you could destroy, it doesn't matter how
without,
good you are.
Without certainty, nothing will happen.
Yeah, you'll always...
Without control, nothing will happen.
Yeah.
You have to recognize it. And you develop both of those the more you use the tools.
Yeah.
The more you hear the Torah on Saturday morning, the more you scan the Zohar, the more you say the Anabakoa, the more you connect to the 72 names of both the Tzaddikim and God. All of this is building your vessel, strengthening your spiritual muscles to be able to achieve all that we can achieve as human beings.
I think that is really important, because that's an issue with me. And when the Ultimate Secret came out, so many people figure out why I love it. That level of certainty that people don't realize you have to.
Absolutely. absolutely. You have to have the certainty. Are there any other questions? It's not just a metaphor, it's an absolute description. That is the only time people change, is when you can change through study of Torah. You can change without it. But if you don't choose that route to study Torah, only way you change is by being put into a box.
Yeah.
You know, come up against the Yam Suf, that sea of end, that sea of limitation. With the bad guys behind you and the mountains locking you in, and you have nowhere to go, and God's answer is, why are you crying to me? Yes, we need to ask God. We need to cry to God. We need to pray to God. That's part of the system of control. But the answer is, you have the tools. Manifest them. Bring them into your life and use them.
Everyone
does. No questions?
Hey, Noik.
Yes, Chris, how are you?
Yes, Chris. if you scan on a daily basis and read Zohar and the Torah, the development will be speeded up, or does it take a certain amount of time to develop that consciousness specifically?
We live in a physical world, which means this gets a little esoteric, but the physical world has built into it something called process. Another word for that is Satan, but people don't understand that. The physical world takes a process. So you cannot, I shouldn't say you cannot, the majority of the world is unable to scan once and reach the level of consciousness where they can manifest this process or manifest control of the physical world without going through a process. And that's what we mean when we say it takes some time. That's why I suggest constantly scan the 72 names. Constantly say the Ana Bekoach. Constantly scan the Zohar. You are connecting to the Hebrew letters. The Hebrew letters were designed to transfer metaphysical energy. And your eyes are the window to your soul. It's going to change you. It's going to allow you to affect control, providing you have certainty that it will work, and that you want control. A lot of people don't want control because it means and implies responsibility. But as you grow spiritually, these tools will grow along with you and help you achieve the ability to manifest. Now, there are some people who've been scanning for 50 years. This is the chart of the 72 names. They'll scan it for 50 years, but they don't think they have the ability to control their life. They have no certainty, so there's no change. But if you understand that you can achieve certainty, if you understand that you can achieve control, here is a tool to shorten your process. So instead of taking 7 lifetimes, you can do it in one. You can do it in 1 year if you have the consciousness. And that's why I say at the end of 3 months, if you've been doing it for 3 months, send me an email and I'll send you the chart with your name in it so that you can start to bring these attributes. Because each one of these names is an attribute of God, the attribute of the Creator. And we want to bring those attributes into our soul so that we manifest more like the Creator. That's what it means to be closer to the Creator.
We have problem effect
here. Absolutely. Did I answer your question, Chris?
Yes, that's very good. I probably have to hear it 50 times, but that's all right.
Understood. We all hear things the way we want to and need to be making changes along the way. Are there any other questions?
I have a question about that. Is this
just
the physical healing?
No, spiritual healing. Okay. So spiritual and physical. Once something manifests. The question is being asked about the Tikkun HaNefesh, which we explained last week as part of the Ana Bekoach. Once an illness manifests in the physical, it's much harder to change than to correct it before that happens. Before it happens, before it manifests in the physical, before you get cancer, you have damaged your spiritual system so that cancer can grow. But you don't know that you've done it most of the time. We don't realize it. And so what this will do is help you make that change and fix the spiritual so that the physical cannot manifest. Yes. Yes. Any other questions? Next week we will be talking about binding by striking, and I highly recommend that you come prepared with an open mind. It's the most amazing tool around. It creates miracles in your life immediately, but it's also a lifetime process of learning. It's a simple process that is difficult to implement. I look forward to teaching you the tool, because each time I teach it, the more I learn myself. So we'll see you next week.
Sure.
Shalom.
Oh, it's a good thing.